All right, everybody, welcome to the 30th episode of the podcast, dude. Back in action. Wanted to talk this week about the Serial podcast. So I know a lot of you are probably familiar with the Serial podcast. If you're not, then I'm going to tell you about it in a little bit. But I just want to say first that I was not planning, let me start over. I was already planning to do this episode before the second season dropped. So that timing worked out pretty nicely for me. It wasn't intentional. That's just kind of how things go. So, but I wanted to do this episode because I know there are a lot of people who have been thinking about starting a podcast, but maybe feel intimidated by really popular and well-produced shows like Serial or 99% Invisible or This American Life, or insert your favorite well-produced show right there. So I wanted to do this episode to silence that little voice in your head that tells you that you aren't good enough to podcast. So I want to talk about why Serial was such a smash hit and what lessons you can take away from it and the way it was made and how you can apply that to your podcast. So everyone, welcome. My name is Aaron Dowd. This is the podcast, dude. This is episode 30. Welcome. Thanks for listening. It's good to have you here. Let's do a show. All right, everyone. Hope you've been having an excellent past couple of weeks. My past couple of weeks have been difficult, but also getting better. Go back and listen to the last episode if you want to know more about that. This week, back on it, talking about Serial. So if you've never heard Serial before, first off, I want to say it is a fantastic podcast. Fantastic podcast. Well, what is it? What is it about? Serial is a hugely successful murder mystery podcast. It's the first season anyway, is about a high school student who is convicted of murdering his girlfriend on what I think was some pretty flimsy evidence. It's produced by Sarah Koenig in collaboration with WBEZ Chicago, so NPR. And she also worked closely with Ira Glass, who produces This American Life. So this podcast, hugely successful. And I'm talking, I saw stats the other day, something like over 90 million downloads. And I'd be amazed if you haven't heard of it because it's been all over the internet. People won't shut up about it. So why is it so popular? Well, the topic helps. I mean, murder mystery, that's always kind of interesting, you know, who killed who done it, those kind of things. But it's also, it has really high production value. It's very, very well produced, great sound quality, amazing editing, just a captivating storyline. It's great storytelling, great journalism. Some of the shows, I think most of the shows ended on cliffhangers, so it just hooks you. You got to find out what happens. You got to find out if the guy did it, if he didn't, if someone else did, you know, who's telling the truth, who's lying, just all these different things. But there was as I was doing research for this episode, I came across something else. And there's, I think, another reason why Serial was so successful, so popular. And I came across a New Yorker magazine article that summed it up really well. It said, "It's a deep exploration of the concept of reasonable doubt, and therefore an expose, if unwittingly so, of the terrible flaws in our justice system." So the whole concept of the show is this guy was convicted of murdering his high school girlfriend, but the evidence was really, really flimsy. And so I think it taps into people's commonplace fear that, you know, that could be me. That could be me locked up in a jail convicted for murder wrongfully. And it's like it could happen to anyone. It's commonplace. It happens a lot. People get convicted of crime. So I think it kind of taps into that fear in the back of your mind that all of a sudden things could go wrong and you could get wrongfully accused or convicted of something you didn't do. But anyways, that's a side note. But I think it is kind of why Serial was so popular. Okay, so here's why you can't make a podcast like Serial. I'm going to tell you why you should still make a podcast in a little bit. But here's why you can't make a podcast like Serial right now. Number one, you don't have the experience. Sarah Koenig worked for more than 10 years as the producer of This American Life before she and Julie Snyder started Serial. She's co-hosted. She's guest hosted This American Life several times, most memorably for a episode called No Coincidence, No Story. She's produced and reported some of This American Life's most popular shows. She's also worked on several other podcasts before joining This American Life. And before she joined This American Life in 2004, she covered criminal justice and was a state house reporter at the Baltimore Sun and Concord Monitor in New Hampshire. So basically, she has a ton of experience in both podcasting and writing and journalism. And I'm guessing most of you don't. And that's okay. That's okay. Another reason, number two, you don't have the time. So I don't know if you guys know this, but Sarah spent a year doing research, sifting through court documents and interviewing people before she did the first season of the show. A year. Think about that for a minute. What did you do last year? Did you spend a whole year doing research for, you know, a series of articles or a book that you wrote? Maybe. That's great. But how many podcasters spend a year to do, I don't know, what was it, 10 episodes? Not very many. So creating a show like this takes an enormous amount of time and preparation. And if you're working a full-time job, if you're doing something else, it's going to be really, really hard to make that time. Number three, you don't have the team that she had. So as far as I can tell, four other people helped Sarah Koenig make the first season of Serial. Now in season two, if you go to the About page of her website, she has 12 people assisting her, including two other producers, two editors, a mix engineer, and an editorial advisor that you may have heard of, Ira Glass, produces This American Life. So you don't have the team. She's got a big team now. She's not doing all this work by herself. She's not producing the show by herself. I bet she has the knowledge. I bet she could. But she has people help her, and it makes the show better. So you don't have the team. Number four, you don't have the gear. A lot of people are starting to get better microphones. Like on the Sean West Network, we all use the Shure SM7B. More and more people are starting to buy those kind of microphones. Shure SM7B. What's the other one? The Shure Beta 87A. You know, people are starting to spend more than the minimum $50 or $100. Blue Yeti's not a terrible microphone, but Sarah Koenig actually uses a Shure KSM32, which is a large diaphragm condenser mic that sells new for about $550. You know, and I've heard that some of the NPR podcasters use microphones that cost $2,000 to $3,000, and I don't even know about their preamps or their USB interfaces or what they record to, their recording gear, but they spend a lot of money on gear because they want to sound good. They want to sound professional. They want to sound better than everybody else. They have very, very high standards. So for comparison, so Sarah Koenig's mic, KSM32, sells for about $550 new. This microphone I'm on sells new for about $350. Some of the microphones I've been looking at that I've been wanting to buy, large diaphragm condensers, more for music, but some of the ones I've been looking at run $600, $1,000. I'm not ready to spend $2,000, $3,000 on a mic yet. Don't have it. But so you probably don't have the same gear. You don't sound quite as good. Number five, you have different goals. So what were Sarah's goals for Serial? Well, my guess would be mostly just to tell a good story. She wanted to tell a really good story. She also probably wanted to find answers about the case. She wanted to see if the guy that was convicted of murder was actually guilty. What are your goals for your podcast? I don't know what your goals are, but I'm guessing you have probably different goals than she did. Maybe telling a story about, I don't know, a murder mystery isn't going to help you achieve your goals. Maybe you want to build an audience for your client work. Or maybe you want to connect with like-minded people in your niche. Okay, number six. You don't have a pre-existing audience. So Serial was not Sarah Koenig's first podcast. She's worked on other podcasts, and she's worked with some very well-known people. She's connected. She has some very popular friends. And even Sarah Koenig had said that she wasn't expecting the show to get as much press as it did. But I guarantee you, the people she knows and the NPR community sharing it, everyone sharing it, that helped out a lot. you probably don't have that yet. You don't have a ton of people that will share your podcast on social media, especially if it's the first show you've ever done. If you're relatively new to it, you just don't have that network yet. It's okay. So now I want to talk about what you should do instead. Don't stop freaking out because, you know, you don't have all these different advantages and things that Serial has. Here's what you should do. Number one, do your research. I love the fact that Sarah spent a year doing research for the show, for the first season of Serial, before doing it. If everyone started doing more research before they podcasted, we'd all have better shows. So do your research. Talk to people, call people, read articles online, whatever it is you're writing or talking about, spend a couple hours at least and do some research on it before just pumping something out. Number two, focus on making a personal connection with your audience members. This is an advantage that you have over Serial. Sarah Koenig cannot spend time connecting with people in the audience because there are just so freaking many of them. She can't talk to people on Twitter. She can't build friendships with those people. You know, she's already got a ton of professional relationships, and I'm sure she's developed new relationships, mutually beneficial relationships, out of the success of her show. But if you're just starting out, you can invest time in people that find your show and connect with it. Use that to your advantage. Make some new friends. Number three, tell stories. So really adapt this aspect of Serial and the way they did it. Tell your personal stories or interview people on your show and let them tell their stories. Study writing and journalism and the craft of storytelling. This is a goal that I have for myself in the future. I'm going to buy some books. I'm going to learn more about storytelling. I'm going to learn about how the hosts of NPR shows, you know, This American Life, Serial, how they think about storytelling. And also craft a narrative. So think about creating a story arc for your podcast. You know, say, can you come up with a 10-episode series? I was thinking about this myself. I was like, what? Maybe I'll try this. Next week, I'll try to come up, even if it's just hypothetically speaking. You know, what is a 10-episode series I could do on podcasting for people interested in podcasting? Maybe it's, you know, 10 episodes about how to start your first podcast. Something. I'll think of something. But think about doing that. Think about creating longer than just single episode story arcs. Okay, so number four, focus on sound quality. Focus on sound quality. If there's one thing that a lot of people talk about when they talk about Serial and other NPR podcasts, This American Life, shows like that, they always mention how good they sound. So part of that is gear, yes. Part of that's going to be the microphones you use. Maybe, you know, honestly, if you just want to start, don't wait until you have a $500 or $1,000 microphone, especially if you can't afford it. I couldn't go out and buy a $500 microphone right now. Believe me, if I could, I would, because I like microphones. I want to buy more. But if you're just starting out, it's okay to start off with a $50 microphone or a $100 microphone. Buy the best that you can afford right now, but save money to invest in better gear in the future. Because if you want to get to those bigger levels, if you want to grow your audience, if you want to have a more successful podcast, you're going to need to invest money in good gear. At some point, there are people who are still going to be willing to listen to you, especially if you have good content, especially if you have compelling content. But good sound quality just elevates that to another level. So save money every week. You know, I do this. I'm saving 10, 20 bucks every week to invest money in recording gear. I've already got a pretty good setup for podcasting, but, you know, I want to buy stuff for recording music too. And hey, be cool to see how a $600 or $1,000 microphone compares to this Shure SM7B. Just for fun. So focus on sound quality. I've done a bunch of episodes about that. I'll drop a link to a couple in the show notes, which can be found at thepodcastdude.com/30. I'm thinking of the gear guide. I need to update my gear guide. That was thepodcastdude.com/2. And then I also did an episode about soundproofing, treating room reflections, things like that. Your recording environment, basically, because that's another big part. Good gear in a noisy environment, still not going to give you good results. All right, number five, build relationships with other influence other influencers and your peers. I bet the relationships that Sarah Koenig has built over the years really helped with the success of her show. You get the right people talking about it. You get it posted on the right websites. People with big, big audiences, that's really, really important. And at the start, you're not going to know those people. It's going to be really hard to get someone with 100,000 followers to retweet your episodes, to talk about your show. But you can get to know the people who are in the same place as you right now. The people who are just getting started, who are going to do a bunch of good work in the future and grow an audience, who are working on growing their audience, but they just haven't got there yet. But if you start doing nice things for them and you start talking to them and you help them out and you're generous with them and you build those relationships, that can really pay off 5 or 10 years down the road. So don't dismiss people right now just because they don't have, you know, a huge number of followers. You never know what someone might turn into, you know? Look at any rock star or movie star. There was a point in their lives when nobody knew who they were, right? They had to do a bunch of work. They had to put in the time. And then all of a sudden, people saw what they did. People saw the art they created or the movies they created, the music they created. And they connected with it and then they resonated with it. And all of a sudden, this person who was nobody just a year or two ago now has hundreds of thousands of fans. You don't know who's going to turn into that person. You don't know who that person's going to be. So be nice to people. I got a little bit more to say about that in the after show, but I want to keep moving forward. So build relationships with other influencers and peers. Number six, hire a podcast editor when you can afford it. When you can afford it, podcast editors are great. They're going to take time out of post-production work, going to save you a bunch of time, and they'll probably do a better job of editing, especially if you communicate well with them, if they're a decent editor. Yeah, definitely hire not just a podcast editor, but if you can afford other people on your team, maybe a show note writer, somebody. I know it might be a while before you get there, especially if you're just starting off. But if money's not a big issue for you, then hire someone who's good at it. Hire people. So I want to say in closing, you just have to start. Stop looking at these shows that are hugely successful and millions of people listening to them. You have to go through the learning process. You're going to have to make mistakes and learn from them before you can get better, before you can get to that level. So if there's one thing I want you guys to take away from this, is that you probably can't make a podcast like Serial right now, and that's totally okay. That's totally fine. You can still make something valuable for your audience, for the people on your level. There's something valuable that you can share with them right now. With time and practice and dedication, you're going to refine your knowledge, grow your knowledge, and your teaching ability. So you won't just get smarter as a person, you'll get better at teaching people. That's really, really important. So the fact that Serial has been so successful, this is actually great news for podcasters. It's introducing listening to podcasts to many, many new people. And once those people are done listening to Serial, they're going to want to find a new podcast to listen to, something that interests them. And if you produce a great show that catches their interest, is about something they're interested in, then you have the opportunity to grow an audience and connect with even more people. So it's okay if you're just starting out on your journey, learning how to podcast, starting a podcast, it's totally fine. Over time, you're going to improve and you're going to get better if you keep doing it. Okay, so that's the show for today. If you guys have any questions, please send them to aaron@thepodcastdude.com. If I missed anything, if I screwed anything up, tell me about it, please. I really appreciate you guys for listening, for showing up and hanging out. Hope this was helpful. Oh, okay. Let's see. I want to say join the Sean West community, seanwest.com/community. It's an amazing place full of smart people and people who are podcasting and making videos and building businesses and being entrepreneurs. And it's inspirational. You can get tons of help here. I think all these people are going to be going places and being successful in the future. I'm excited. In fact, one of them, I want to mention this, guys. Levi Allen just did a short film, 30 minutes, called Untethered, about these crazy guys who go slacklining. Basically, they string up these lines across these huge chasms, and then they walk across them. It's an amazing video. I'll include a link in the show notes. But I was watching this video this past week, and those of you who have seen it know, I was like, holy crap, like, I know the guy that made this video. This is a phenomenally beautiful video, this untethered. And I was like, it's so weird to know someone who made something this awesome. That's cool. Like, I was talking, Levi's a community member. I remember, it was sometime last year where he first came in the community. He was talking about the videos he was making, and I could tell right away he was a fantastic filmmaker. You know, his videos, even his short 5-10 minute videos were beautiful. And I remember thinking, yeah, this guy's going to do something awesome. And then he produced Untethered. I watched it. It was breathtaking. It was beautiful. It was one of the greatest 30-minute films I've ever seen. And I was like, wow. Like, I know that guy. I talked to that guy. It was a cool feeling. So that's the kind of people you get to meet in the community. ShawnWest.com/community. Go check it out. I know a lot of you who have been following me recently have been hearing me talk about the products that I'm working on currently. I was working on a template for Logic that you could download and open up, and it had a bunch of presets already configured, a bunch of plugins ready to go, so you could just drop your audio files in and edit and go from there. But I had a conversation with Sean McCabe this past week on my sabbatical break, and we were talking about the different tiers and the products I wanted to make. And after discussing with him, he had some great ideas. And we decided that I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to create a free course to teach people how to use GarageBand for podcasting. So this is going to be videos and notes for the videos that you can watch over on a website, probably, you know, hosted on the Sean West website. I think I picked out a URL, but I'm not going to announce it yet. Missed opportunity. But I'm going to teach people how to use GarageBand for podcasting. That's going to be a free course. I'm also going to produce a template that I was already planning on producing, a pre-configured template for Logic, along with an accompanying screencast to show people how to use it. And then I'm also going to work on, I should have checked my notes, but I believe I'm going to do an entire course about professional podcasting with Logic Pro X. So that's going to be a huge, huge deep dive into Logic and podcasting. So that's going to be the big one, a lot of work, but I'm ready for it. I've already got outlines for the free course, and I'm pretty much already finished with the template and the screencast for Logic. So that's going to be exciting. Just want to let you guys know, keep you posted on that. Been talking about it a lot. I'm still working on it. Okay, so let's see. I got a couple of questions in the after show. So let's jump into that. Good times. Okay, I got a question from Allison earlier. Allison had said, I have kind of thought about podcasting, but my talking voice sucks. I like this. Allison, I totally, totally feel, or I felt the same way. If you go back and listen to the first 8, 10, 15 episodes of my podcast, I had a really, really hard time with speaking. And then listening back, I was just like, I still cringe a little bit. If you want to go back even further, go listen to the first episode of the Sean West podcast and listen to me talk back then. It's hugely different, both in sound quality and in the quality of my speaking voice, the way I talk. I strongly believe that speaking is one of those things that's a skill. It's not something that some people are just born better at. Some people practice more. Some people get voice coaching, get speaking coaching. They learn how to be a better speaker. And so can you. And one of the biggest ways, one of the most helpful ways to do that is to practice speaking. Listen critically to what you do. Listen critically to how you talk. And then work on it. I did an episode about this. Thepodcastdude.com/9. Episode title was, What If I Don't Like My Voice? So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. Go check that out if your voice is one of those things that you struggle with. And if it's not just the way you talk, but the way you sound, then there are also things you can do to make your voice sound better. Different microphones. For example, there are microphones that will make a flat, kind of dull voice sound brighter and more exciting. On the flip side, if you have a very squeaky, high, I'm trying to think of other words to describe, a bright voice, then there are microphones, especially like the Shure SM7B, that can make your voice sound a little bit more mellow, a little bit more smooth, a little bit darker. It's a word they use to describe audio tone. And then there's also, if you learn about using an EQ, you can also EQ a lot of those things and make your voice sound better. EQ and compression can do wonders. So both practice and microphones and post-production. Yep. But yeah, like I said before the show, I go back and I listen to some of the old podcast episodes I've done, and I'm just like, oh gosh, man, you sound terrible. That's just, you just got to go through it. You got to suck for a while. You know, I sucked for a while. I sucked for a long time. I hope I'm getting better. I think I'm getting better. Okay. Got another question here from John Luden. He asked, what are your thoughts on using an audio studio to record a show, like buying a package of hours, which saves you on editing, soundproofing, and gear in the early stages? That's an interesting concept. So you're talking about going to an actual recording studio, renting a space, and using their microphones and their equipment to record, maybe having an engineer. I'm going to say that's going to be really expensive. Really expensive. Let's see. John just posted. There's a deal, 50 hours for $12.50. I think that's pounds. Is that pounds? Includes editing and professional audio. So you get a microphone, you get editing. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm pretty sure there are people that probably do that. They probably go to recording studios to record, then they have someone to edit and all that kind of stuff. It's a great idea. If money is tighter for you, then I think it's going to be cost prohibitive. But there are advantages to that, you know. Audio engineers who know how to set up microphones and how to record and how to do great editing and how to do great post-production. They're not cheap, depending. Okay. Disadvantages, I think. You won't be learning how to do this stuff yourself. So if you're interested in DIY audio production and podcast production, then this is the kind of stuff that you need to learn. You'll need your own gear. But it's an interesting concept. Yeah, I would say if you value your time highly, you want a podcast, but you don't want to have to deal with any of it, that's a great way to go. All right. Okay, there was something else I wanted to talk about before I go. I was thinking a lot last week about how sometimes I feel envious of other people who are successful. I tweeted something about this, but I was just thinking about this. And there are bands that I follow, and this has kind of been this way for a long time. Bands and people I follow that just seem to have it together. Like, they've got all the friends, and they're like traveling the world, or they're doing this and that, and they're doing stuff I like, and it just seems like they have such a great life, and I'm just envious of it. And I'm like, man, you know, I wish I could have cool friends like that. And not to say my friends aren't cool. My friends are awesome. But I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. Like, you see these people who are successful, and you're just thinking, like, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. At some point, as I was thinking about it, I was like, well, if I'm doing the work, if I'm taking the steps required to become successful and to produce great work, then that is going to be those people I look up to. I'm going to be in that position someday. I'm going to be that guy that has those friends that people see and are like, and they look at my work and they're like, man, it'd be awesome to have what that guy has. So the more I think about it, the more I realize I just need to focus on doing the work and let the rewards come when they come. And if they come, you know, maybe nothing will ever come of my podcast. I actually don't believe it. I think I'm proud of the work I've done, and I'm getting better all the time. and I'm helping people and I'm growing an audience. It's been great. It's been everything I've hoped it'd be. And, you know, I'm only 30 episodes in. But maybe nothing comes of my drumming. Maybe I never join a band that sells millions of records, even hundreds of thousands of records, you know, because not very many people sell millions of records. But that's okay, you know. I have a great time with my band. I have a great time hanging out with my friends. I'd be happy if I could play shows for people who appreciate the music and, you know, do the touring and go traveling and maybe go see Europe or Australia or something. That would be awesome. So I just want to encourage you, if you're at a point in your life where you're looking at somebody who's more successful than you and you're just thinking like, oh, I wish I had that, stop wishing. It's okay to wish that you had success, but stop focusing on that and start focusing on doing the things that will get you there. You know, sit down and do the work. Talk to the people, make those individual one-on-one connections. Build those relationships with people, even if they're not the successful, popular people. You know, make your own group of friends awesome. That's how I see it. Be there and present for the friends you have now. And really, you know, if the friends you have now suck, maybe you need to get new friends. I'm lucky to have awesome friends. I'm lucky to have the Sean West community. You guys are awesome. I wish I had time to hang out with you, all of you in real life. But I guess that's the Sean West conference. All right, let me find the link for that. Yeah, go check out SeanWest.com/conference. We'll be meeting up in October. That's going to be amazing. Okay, guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. That's going to do it for the show today. If you have any questions or if you want to say hi, if you have ideas for future topics that you'd like me to cover on the episode, send them to Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. That's my email. Go sign up for my email newsletter at thepodcastdude.com right there on the page. You can find past episodes. Go back and look through the archive. There's some great shows. If this is your first episode, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. Glad to have you here. Introduce yourself. Find me on Twitter. I'm @thepodcastdude. And if you wouldn't mind, leave me a review in iTunes. Thepodcastdude.com/iTunes will take you there. So have an excellent week. I'll talk to you online, and I'll talk to you next week.